I followed Chris and Prosper, and I can only just say so much for him because he really was the one-man show. I've, you know, really been able to reap the benefits. When Mr. Koppel was in Prosper, he came up from Frisco as one of their planners and then became the city planner in Prosper and then finally the development service director. He worked in a building. Patty wouldn't let me put the picture in. He worked in a building that was a public works administration building that was combination your water utility department and fire station. When Chris was able to grow his planning staff, we actually had to convert a bay of an old fire station for the planners to work in. And fundamentally, he represented what I did in Keller back in the 90s. You have to wear a lot of hats, and so you have to walk in the job knowing, you know, I'm going to be a planner, but, you know, the city manager is going to ask me to do things. This being the campaign season, a lot of municipalities, your elections are in the first Saturday in May. We have a fairly strict and I think a very good sign ordinance written by our town attorney where we really try to keep all signage out of the right-of-way. And that's not an easy job. You try to tell politicians or candidates that they, you know, where they put their signs. So we have actually gone out, and one of my jobs the last 2 weeks is going out with a digital laser pointer, measuring the sign from the edge of the curb to the right-of-way, calling up and said, you're 2 feet in, and I have proof for it. So I never thought, you know, I'd be doing that, but, you know, that's just, you know, one of those duties as other assigned.
We have a strict sign ordinance and gave up on that. So, John, so the structure of this, the rest of our discussion is going to be in the form of questions that Patty's going to help moderate, but a lot of our slides are, I'll have John kind of introduce some of the background. He worked on sort of a survey of planners across the state a couple of years ago and gleaned some background from what they found in their jobs. So we will share our experiences. Some of these slides represent some of the common threads among those answers.
So the first, you want to go ahead and introduce the first question?
After being hired, what was the most unexpected aspect of the job?
So, as Lindsay said, a couple years ago, I was able to serve on a panel in North Texas. We have a group we meet each year. And I posed this question, and I tried to go through the planning directory and hit basically every city under 20,000 in the state of Texas that had a city planner. And I posed that to them, and it was absolutely amazing, some of the responses. And some of it was almost kind of sad of some of the things that they had to endure. You know, one planner responded that, you know, he would be, you know, up front of the council explaining why the plat had to be approved because it met the subdivision ordinance. You know, oh, what a shocker. And he was basically verbally abused by the town council of like, well, what do you mean I have to approve this plat for 10,000 square foot lots? Don't you know we only want 20,000 square foot lots in this town? And, you know, had to kind of take a whipping from the mayor of, you know, I cannot believe you would allow this to come to it. But, you know, as I listed on here is that, and I guess politics would apply to any size town, but when you work in a small town, it's upfront and it's personal. You don't have that buffer. If you're a senior planner, and maybe even a planning director in a mid-sized or large-sized town, you probably have at least two or three layers between you and the town council. You probably have an assistant city manager, a city manager. It's probably a little bit more structured, where council members are expected to go to the city manager or maybe the ACM versus coming to you, but they're going to walk in your door, and they're going to bring their political agenda right into your office. Certainly, you're going to walk into some opportunities where the codes are very outdated. Many of the smaller towns have very limited budgets. If you don't have the tax base yet, they probably hired an engineering firm 20 or 30 years ago to write their zoning ordinance and their subdivision ordinance. And so right off the bat, here it is 2019, and you may be dealing with a zoning ordinance that was written 30 years ago that's not kept up to it. When I worked in Irving in the mid-1980s, our zoning ordinance, I believe, was a 1954 document. And so finally the mayor, and we actually, 64, they adopted a new one, but they didn't unadopt the old one. So we actually had dueling zoning ordinances that we had to deal with in the town. So that was fun walking into it. I mentioned, you know, what Chris Koppel walked into when he joined the town of Prosper. He's now in Cedar Hills, a lack of resources, no staff, you know, very little electronic equipment. You know, you may have, you know, one small copier. And certainly you don't have an administrative staff. You are the person typing the staff reports. You're the person proofing the staff reports. You're the person taking it all the way to the end. Document management typically lacks in the smaller towns, finding the filing system. In my first job, was in a town outside of Galveston. I was looking at how they did their zoning files. I asked somebody, I said, I see that the zoning on this property is zoned C commercial. I said, where, how did that zoning case get zoned C commercial? And he goes, well, you have to look under the file named George. And I said, well, why is that? And he goes, well, it was Mr. George who initiated the zoning case, so we filed the zoning case under his last name. And that's how we know to find those sort of things. So that was fun to deal with. Again, there's a little bit of a different structure between the council and the staff. I talked about the politics of it, but it's certainly a little bit more casual in a small town. In some points, that can be very good. You and a council member and a mayor can sit down and kind of talk through things, and then you'll be on the same page, you know, when you get to the town council meeting. Anything else that I missed?
So one of the things, when I started in the winter of 2012, one of our big projects that came before staff was a car dealership. And it was being proposed in a donut hole pocket in our ETJ. BK was a general law city at the time. And it was an educational experience for me in really understanding the power of the citizen voice. It was adjacent to a residential neighborhood that was very, very vocally and adamantly against the development. And it was a plat. It was a preliminary plat, and so it became very political very quickly.